Psalm 69, verses 30 through 34. Psalm 69, 30 through 34. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor, and despiseth not the prisoners. Let the heaven and the earth praise Him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. I'll be thinking this morning on magnify the Lord with thanksgiving.
Amen.
That is what we as Christians need to do, is magnify the Lord, and one way do we do that is in thanksgiving.
Yes, amen.
That word magnify is the Hebrew word gadol, and it is number H1431 in the Strong's, and it means to make large in various senses, as in body, mind, estate, or honor, or also pride.
Yes.
To advance, to boast, to bring up, to exceed, excellent, be great, make grow, increase, lift up, magnify, to promote proudly. That's why if we've done anything for the Lord, we ought to do all that.
Yes, amen.
Or to promote Him proudly, or to lift Him up and magnify Him. The word thanksgiving in the Hebrew is todah, and it is number H8426 in the Strong's. It means properly an extension of the hands. That is by implication, a vow, or an adoration, specifically a choir of worship, confession, praise, thanks, thanksgiving, and thanks offering. So we magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. When we lift our hands, it's not just in words, it's praising Him.
Yes.
It's lifting up of our hands, it's action and words together. Singing, but it's not just singing, it's in confession.
Yes.
Confessing what He's done for us.
Amen.
Praising Him, giving thanks, giving honor for all that He's done. When we do that for the Lord, then we magnify the Lord.
Amen.
It is our duty as Christians in this world to magnify God. That's one reason He left us here, is to magnify Him. We are to make God big to this world. That's what we're to make Him big. We're to help them see who He really is, what He really is. I like to think of it as like a telescope making the stars look big to us. You know, that star looks like a little speck in the sky to us. When you look at the telescope, it's big. But that thing's really, in all honesty, it's hundreds of thousands of times bigger than our Earth. But it's so far away, it looks small. It looks like a little speck in our sky. And that's the way this world is. The world lives so far away from God that He's just but a speck to them. Even though He's bigger in our universe, the world lives so far away and their thoughts are so far away from God, He's just a speck to them. And you know, in some big cities they say that the stars, even though as big as they really are, you can't see them for the artificial lights. And there's some people out in this world that are in the false religions, God ain't even a speck to them. You know, they can't even see Him at all. So it's up to us to magnify God to this world. That's why we must be here, and that's why we must magnify God to them. They can't see Him. They don't know Him. We know Him. We need to magnify Him to them.
Yes, amen.
Sometimes we are not the telescope, but we point them to the telescope. You know, some people won't let us be the telescope. I remember I told you about that boy at work. The biggest thing in his life the other week was that dental work that was going to go on. And I can understand that's big. But I told him, you remember what I told him? I told him that, you know, don't matter how much that dental work hurt, The hill, it ain't going to compare to for 1 second a hill.
Amen.
Now, he was done talking then. I have to sneak attack him all the time. I can't. He want to talk about something wrong with everything and anything else, but he don't want to talk about nothing wrong with him. But if I get a sneak attack in, I will every now. But his eyes got big as saucers when I said that. But you know, it might be something that gets him to the telescope later. That might be the seed that it takes to get him to look at the Word of God later, or to hear a preaching later, or do something. So anytime we get a chance, we might not be the telescope, but we can point them to the telescope. And that's things like inviting people to church or special meetings. Now, some people don't want to come to church, but they'll come to a Christmas play. They'll come to the special meetings. They'll come to something, Christmas or Easter or something like that, that we can invite people to something like that that won't come to church any other time. And that might get them to the telescope, to the place that they can see God for what He really is. You know, giving out tracts can also be a way to point them to the telescope. But it also can lead you to an opportunity to be the telescope. Now, a lot of times we'll give out a tract, or you'll give out a tract, and then somebody might read that and then come back to you with questions.
Sure.
That happens quite often sometimes. If somebody reads it, they're going to have a question a lot of times. And, you know, it might give you an opportunity to magnify God to them where you didn't have that opportunity before you give them that tract. So little things like that can be used to help us magnify God. You know, pointing people to the Bible, giving them a Bible verse, something they need in their life at that time. And, you know, like I say, invite them to church and they come and hear the preacher preach the Bible, and he gets to be the telescope. Him and the Word of God is the telescope. But even though you wasn't a telescope, you didn't magnify God in just inviting them to church so much, but you got them to where he could be magnified. And when we hand out tracts sometimes, like I said, somebody will start asking questions, and you get the opportunity to become the one that magnifies God, to be the telescope. And the same thing when you point people to the Bible or Scripture. You know, they might ask a question about that, where you get the chance to dig deeper and be the telescope to make God look bigger in their life. But we see here in this chapter, or in verse 30, that there's one way that everyone who is saved can be the telescope, can be the one that magnifies God. It doesn't matter if you're the preacher or a Sunday school teacher or the layman or just somebody that's newly saved. You can magnify God when you give God thanks.
Sure.
You know, we can make God big to others in giving God thanks.
Amen.
In our thanksgiving, we make God look big to somebody that doesn't know Him. And even to those that do know Him. Now, I must be honest, as I thought on this and studied this, and you know, I had to ask forgiveness, and I must admit that I fell here many times. You know, it's easy to come to church and give God thanks here. It's easy to thank God in front of Christian brothers. It's easy to give God thanks in front of family and friends who are saved. That's simple. It's easy. That should be the most natural thing to us, really, to give God thanks, honor, and glory amongst Christian friends, in our church, and our church family. And we should. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what we should be doing. It is a help to an encouragement to our brethren. It helps us and it helps them. It helps keep us in focus of who is big and who ain't big. It helps keep us on track. When we see God as big, when we magnify God to each other, we see who's really in control, who's really big, and who really ain't. Ain't none of us big. No matter what our job is, we're not big. God is the one that's using us. So He's the big one. He's the one that we need to make look big. So it is right to do that here, but we don't stop here. We need to give. God can also use us use our thanksgiving to magnify Him to the lost. We need to be need to take our thanksgiving to those who don't know God. We can show them how truly thankful we are for some things that they don't have. We can thank Him for, be truly thankful before them for peace with God. That's something the sinner don't know. The sinner does not know anything about peace with God. And that we can be thankful for forgiveness for our sins. They don't know nothing about that.
Amen.
We can be thankful that our eternity is sure. There ain't a sinner on this earth that has any peace at all with God, and they don't have any peace about their eternity, because it is impossible to have peace about your eternity without Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you have that, that's something you can be thankful for, and we need to mindfully be thankful to the, about that, for that, in front of sinners. You know, like I said, I fell here, not that I always fail here, but, you know, when you're, it's hard to do sometimes because they just don't understand. When you start that, that's when they get that look in their eye. That's when they look at you funny. That's when they start backing up, and that's when they get that awkward silence that it's time to leave. And, but you know, they don't have to understand it. They just need to see it in our life. They need to see that it is real in our life, and it will give them a thirst. And they might not come that day, and they might not come that week, but it will give them a thirst, and it will give them something to think about, and they will know that you're thankful for something to somebody that they don't know, about something that they have no idea about. And when you know that your eternity is sure, and they have, they can't have no peace about that, that's something that's going to weigh on their mind at some point. You know, maybe there'll be a death in the family, or they hear about a friend dying or something that makes them think about their eternity. And God can use your thankfulness to magnify Him. Even though it might not have looked like it did that day to them, it will in their life at some point. They'll want to know, what is so good about this God? What gives you peace with God? What gives you a thanksgiving of eternity that they don't understand? So you made God look big to them in your thanksgiving. Our thanksgiving can and will magnify God to those who do not know Him. So we don't need just to be thankful here. We do. We need to be thankful here in church, but also take it to this world. We see in verse 31 that our praise and thanksgiving is pleasing and better than sacrifices. This shall also please the Lord. And that should be our heart's desire, to please our Lord and our Savior.
Amen.
Just think what He's done for us. That should be our heart's desire, to do something that pleases Him. What can you give a God that has everything? Your praise, your thanksgiving. That's all we got to give Him. Give Him ourselves, give Him our praise, give Him our thanksgiving for all He's done already. All He's going to do, all He's promised us. Just, that's just something that we can do for the God that has and has made everything. And He don't automatically have your praise, even though He should. He don't have it until you give it. So we need to give God thanks. Give God glory and give God honor, and that'll please Him. And this shall also please the Lord better than ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. And you know that's what they sacrificed back in the Old Testament days. That'll please the Lord better than your tithes and offerings. A lot of people want to please the Lord by giving a great big check one time a year or something. Giving this and that and thinking they're pleasing the Lord. Well, that might please the Lord. If you do it in the right heart, that will please the Lord. But your thankfulness every day,
yes,
your praise to God every day, will please God more than that great big gift once a year or every week even. No matter how often you do it, your true, honest praise of God will please the Lord better than your great big sacrifices. We need to understand that. We need to get real with that. You know, just like your relationship with your wives or something. Yeah, I'm sure she likes that trip once a year or once every chance you get to do it. But she wants to hear you love her every day. You want to hear, she wants to hear how well she done something, how thankful you are for her, and what something she's done in your life every day. That one trip a year ain't going to keep that relationship established. And that's the same thing with God.
That's right.
We need to praise Him and be thankful every day. Do that little thing that we can every day.
That's right. Amen.
And keep that relationship in the right place, because that one big gift every year or weekly or monthly doesn't keep that relationship, just like our earthly relationship, any relationship, that spiritual relationship's the same way. And you know, we need to give God thanks, and that will please the Lord. And like, that's just all, that's what we're here for. That's what we were made for. We were made for His pleasure. And when we do that, we're actually fulfilling our life's purpose. And without pleasing the Lord, we miss our life's purpose.
Amen.
And I was thought about when I read that, it's better than an ox or bullock or that hath horns and hooves. You know, I thought about Psalms 51 when David got right with God. Psalms 51 verse 15 through 17 says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall shew forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Just a heart that's just got honest with God. If you're truly honest and you see yourself what you really are before a holy God, you're going to have that broken spirit. You're going to have that broken and contrite heart. And you're going to be able to praise Him because you've got nothing in yourself to praise. So do that right. We need to have that broken spirit and that broken contrite heart. Realize why we are before a holy God, and just be thankful that God, in all His majesty, God in all His holiness, is willing to be merciful enough to allow us to give that opportunity to have all this and do all this. And then verse 32, the humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. This word humble, when I see the word humble, and I'm sure most people think the same way, when we see the word humble, we think of making ourselves humble and submitting to the Lord. But this is not that word. This word for humble is only found in the book of Psalms. It's a Hebrew word that's only found in the book of Psalms. And every time you see it in the book of Psalms, it is this Hebrew word. It's the Hebrew word Ani. It is number H6041 in the Strong's, and it means depressed in mind or circumstances, afflicted, lowly, needy, poor, humble. It's just somebody that's brought low. Not that they've brought themselves low, not that they're in the right place with God. It doesn't have nothing to do with that. It means they're lowly. They've gotten that place in life where they've been beat down. They're afflicted, they're poor, they're needy, they need something. And when we give thanks to God and we magnify God to them, that person, then they get to the point where they can be glad, even in those circumstances. So that's what that word humble, and every time you see the word humble in Psalms, that's what it is. And you know, see, it is right to give, right and good to give thanks and praise to the Lord here with the brethren. You know, not everyone's not always on the mountain. Sometimes you can come in here and you're just going to praise the Lord, and you're ready to praise the Lord, and God's done something for you, and you can praise Him and you can give Him thanks and honor and glory, And you lift that one up over here that's been beat down, the one that's humble at that time, the one that's needy and poor and afflicted. Their circumstances have got them down and depressed. But you can magnify God in that person's life, and you can remind them who's really big. You remember, I think of, when Joshua and Caleb came back and the 10 spies said that we look like grasshoppers. But Joshua and Caleb knew that the enemy is giants, looked like grasshoppers according to their God. And David was the same way when he faced Goliath. You know, everybody, all the armies of Israel, I don't know how many men were in that army at that time, but not a one of them was brave enough to go out and face that giant. And they wouldn't even get together and go out and face him with more than one man. You know, you don't have to fight the enemy on his terms. That's what they were doing. They were cowering their tents because they wasn't willing to fight that enemy on his terms. But, David was out there, and David was just a little lad at the time. He was a teenager, if a teenager yet. And he knew that his God was bigger than that giant. And sometimes we're at the place where God just been big in our life, and we can thank him for it and give God thanks, and we can help that other person that's been humble and been got their circumstances just beat them down and they're afflicted, and we can help them see that, you know, God is big. Even now where I'm at, God's big. And that's what David done. When David killed Goliath, when he cut his head off and held his head up, the armies of Israel chased them Philistines for miles and miles. They wasn't willing to go out and fight one man, but after David killed that giant in the name of the Lord and magnified God to that whole army faced a whole army. That whole army chased a whole army. So sometimes it's our glorification, our thanksgiving unto God that gives the brethren the what they need to keep it going in the fight. And then we need to magnify God because we need to help our brethren see that God is big, bigger than their circumstances, bigger than their problems. And they are encouraged and they're glad even in their circumstances. You know, we all need that at times. We're not, like I said, we're not always on the mountain.
That's right. Amen.
The preacher's not always on the mountain. Sometimes he needs to hear us magnify God a little bit before him.
Amen.
Sometimes he needs a little encouragement knowing that God has used him here and helped us see things in our life and helped us, and God, you know, God is helping him through us. So we need to be a help to each other and help to one another, and magnifying and thanksgiving unto God is a way to do that. It's a big, big part of a Christian life.
Sure is.
Without that, you will be a defeated Christian.
Amen.
That is one thing we must do, is be thankful and give God glory and honor.
Amen.
And just like the armies of Israel were sitting there, they weren't destroyed by the Philistines, but they were defeated by the Philistines because that one man was out there cursing their God and they wasn't thankful enough. But David went down there and he said, "Is there not a cause?"
Amen.
And he said, "I come out in the name of the Lord." And he remembered who God was, and he remembered that his God was bigger than the giant. And when he faced that, when he defeated that, that brought victory to the whole army. Sometimes it just takes one person to remember who God really is. And sometimes it might just be one person that ain't beat down to that place that does remember who God really is. We all get beat down sometimes.
Amen.
And none of us is above that. So we need to always be mindful that we need to give God thanks. And as it says in verse 33, "For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not the prisoners." We need to remind one another that you've never gotten too low for God to care or God to listen, no matter what your circumstances are. No matter how far you've gotten away, no matter where you're at, you're never too low for God to care and God to listen. God, for the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not the prisoners. For the Lord, and I just couldn't help but think of who did God send the angels to when he sent his son to earth? That night in Bethlehem, he sent him to the poor and the lowly. God, you're never too low for God to care about you. Your circumstances have not got you too far low, have not beat you too far down for God to know where you're at and God to come to where you're at if you want him. If you call out to him, he'll hear you. And in verse 34, let the heaven and the earth praise him, and the seas and everything that moveth therein. Everything that moveth in the heaven and in the earth and in the seas. That's pretty much everything.
Amen.
And the psalmist says to let all that praise the Lord. And you know, you think about it, and really they do. Everything that God created on this earth, everything we look at, we can see God's handiwork in it. Everything points and praises a God that made it.
Amen.
Except man. Man is always trying to find life without God. And everything that we live in, everything, all the stars, all the heavens, all the earth, all the trees, all the animals, every single thing on this earth points to a creator. Everything in the heavens points to a creator. Sings praise to the God that made it. Praises the God that made it, but man don't. So how much more if everything like that does, and you think, and I was just thinking about the seas, and just think how small man is compared to the sea. You know, how can a man think he's big when he's standing out there on the coast of the sea and you see just the magnificent power that the sea has?
Amen.
And that sea is just giving glory to the God that made it. You know, God holds all that water in the cup of his hand. He poured it all out of his hand right there. God could hold every bit, every drop of that water in his hand. And it's so, a man can't compare to that. It puts us in our place. It puts God in his place. And everything magnifies God. How much more should a man or woman whom Jesus came to this earth, bled, suffered, and died, paid their price on Calvary, and rose again to prove that he was deity, and came and done all that, suffered all that on our behalf, so that we could come live with him forever. When he's done all that for us, how much more should we magnify God? How much more should we praise God than anything else on this earth? Yeah. I don't want no rock crying out for me.
Amen.
And we shouldn't want the rocks crying out for us. The rocks do cry out for them. The rocks do prove that there's a God. Everything that he created shows that there's a creator. And everything that he saves orders prove that there's a savior. Or to thank God for what he's done for us. So we need to magnify God. Magnify God to the lost in our thanksgiving. Magnify God to one another in thanksgiving. Sometimes everybody's just not on the mountaintop of your own.
That's right. Amen.
They need to hear us magnify God.
Yeah. Amen.
And we also need to magnify God just because he is who he is. He's done what he's done.
Right.
And we're nothing without him.
Yes, amen.
If it wasn't for any of the other good, we should magnify God anyway.
Sure. Amen. Amen.
That's all I want.